We've all heard stories of PhDs who work as janitors or sales clerks. Increasingly, we've also heard of professionals who owe tens of thousands of dollars on their college loans and of recent college graduates unable to find work at all. These trends are altering the long-standing conversation about the value of a college education. According to our next guest and others, they're all symptoms of a higher education bubble that's postponing, if not derailing, the dreams of millions of college graduates and their families, and slowing economic growth in our country. Dr. Richard Vedder studies these issues as director of the nonprofit Center for College Affordability and Productivity at Ohio University. Dr. Vedder, welcome to Current State.
Glad to be with you.
I touched on some of the better-known features of what you'd refer to as a higher education bubble. In your view, why are these things happening?
Well, we've devoted a lot of resources to higher education in recent decades, and we've told students, of course, prospective students, that to be a success in life, you need to have experience in higher education, preferably obtaining a bachelor's degree or more. And all of this, you know, is well-intended, and some of it is even good advice. But like anything else in life, the law of diminishing returns applies, meaning that if you get excessive about doing something or overdo it a bit, you may find out that the results turn out differently than you intended, and that they don't have you don't get the payoff that you expected. So we simply have too many people going to college and getting degrees for the kinds of jobs that are available that the college students traditionally expected to get. So the jobs that college kids are getting, graduates are getting after they finish, in some cases are far less well-paying, involve less skills and so forth than what they expected. So there's a gap between the expectations of students who go to college and what they actually get after they graduate.
You've been warning of this bubble for several years, at least. Is this situation worsening?
Well, it's a problem that, yes, it has been building over time, and it's worse today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. It's no question that the Great Recession following 2007 aggravated the problem and accelerated this mismatch in labor markets. But it's been going on for some time. If you were to go back to, say, 1970 or 5, hardly any taxi cab drivers had college degrees, less than 1%. Today, maybe 16 or 17% of taxi cab drivers have college degrees.
Huh.
And so it's been building for some time.
Could this bubble burst like other market bubbles?
Well, it can burst in the sense that you get outcomes that are not expected, and that is happening. So in that sense, it has burst. It won't burst in the sense that, for example, I don't think we're going to get a dramatic decline in the price of college. You might have gotten a dramatic decline sometimes in the price of stocks or housing prices fell a lot after 2007. You're not going to see the price of college falling dramatically, I think. But even there, you're starting to see some effects as more and more people are starting to ask themselves, well, maybe I shouldn't even go to college, or maybe I should defer going to college. And we are starting to see a little bit of that. Enrollments in universities are leveling off, maybe down slightly this year over last year. And some think that we may be beginning something of a modest, if not dramatic, decline in college enrollments.
Hmm. What do educators, what do politicians need to address to improve this situation?
Well, there's this imbalance between those wanting to go to school and those in the job market. I think we need to do a better job of counseling students in high school and even earlier to say that something to the effect that all students probably should think that they need to do something after high school to make themselves marketable and trained to participate in the world of work. But that is not necessarily a college degree. There's other options out there. We may need to expand vocational programs in high schools. We may need to increase trade schools and vocational schools, training people to be electricians and plumbers and welders and things like that. We do need those kind of people still. Those jobs are not bad pay. In fact, some of them pay quite well. And we need some people to go into those professions as well as into the kinds of white-collar jobs that most college graduates aspire to.
Universities in this country, I mean, they all invest in recruitment and promotion and marketing increasingly. What I have to ask what your discussions are like with university presidents and university faculty and the like.
Well, it's interesting. It's amazing the proportion of comments I get from faculty that are positive, that agree with me. I'm sort of, in a sense, a contrarian. I'm a college professor myself. By the way, I'm in my 49th year of teaching college, so I've been around the block a few times. And I've gotten some hostile comments from both university presidents and professors. But the proportion of comments that are favorable is quite high, particularly the private comments from, say, university presidents, the ones that, they don't want broadcast what they said specifically. But a lot of them will privately admit that there are a lot of problems out there. There's something of an academic arms race going on, which is sort of forcing schools to spend, at least schools feel they're being forced, to spend more and more money offering more amenities to students, trying to hire superstar professors to give the schools marketing advantages and so forth. There's a lot of what economists call non-price competition going on that's very expensive, and a lot of university presidents are frustrated by the fact that they're being sucked up into this, what I call academic arms race.
You've said that as a country, we need to re-examine why the government is quote, in the higher education business. What do you mean by that?
Well, if we had had no government involvement in higher education, particularly, say, the federal government in the student loan programs and the Pell Grant programs, say, over the last 40 years, we'd probably have fewer people going to college now. And so there would be that. Some people would view that as a negative factor. But we would probably not have 115,000 janitors with bachelor's degrees today either. We would probably not have as much of this mismatch between in the job market. We would probably have fewer dashed expectations where students expect to get a rather nice managerial job and they end up doing something which pays much less. So there's been a lot of, we wouldn't have the huge student debt problem that we have. So we might have 25% of Americans with college degrees instead of 30% or 32%, which is what we have. We might have a little less, but we would probably have a little bit lower dropout problem. That's another huge problem we haven't addressed. Nearly 40% of students who start college don't get a degree even in 6 years. I'm talking about a 4-year degree. So some of these problems would probably be less, and maybe so we may want to re-examine the way the government funds education, or even whether it should fund education. Maybe it only should fund the very, very poor who truly need financial aid in order to make it.
Do you hear people contend that even if a college education doesn't result in optimal employment, that the larger society still invariably gains through many more well-educated citizens?
Yeah, that argument is prevalent and is commonplace, and it's no doubt true that college graduates have a lot of desirable, let's call them social characteristics. are positive. They're more likely to engage as volunteers in civic activities, for example. They're less likely to smoke, which reduces problems with secondhand smoke, et cetera. They're less likely to commit crimes than those who don't go to college. Now, there is some debate, however, to what extent are these favorable characteristics a consequence of actually going to college, and what extent do they reflect the fact that the people that do go to college and graduate are by and large the more responsible members of society anyway. Even at age 17 and 18, they were more responsible. They were better high school students, for example. They were less likely to be picked up on drug or drinking charges even at 17, 18 years old. So how much of it is the actual college experience and how much of it is other things? And there's, you know, some debate in there, debate on there. There's some literature that does suggest that the mere presence of college graduates helps non-college graduates perform more productively and in their job and so forth. So there is some evidence supporting that idea, but there's some evidence that is also that doesn't support it. So the evidence is a bit mixed on that.
Do you think American families with, you know, high school students, for example, are they becoming more aware of what you're talking about here?
I think, yes, there's been a rather dramatic change in the last two or three years. I've been studying this issue fairly closely for the last decade or so, and at first I would say there was a very dim awareness, a limited awareness. I think that has grown a lot because of a lot of publicity about the student loan debt problems, stories of college graduates unable to obtain good jobs, and so forth. So I think the problem has grown. I think the awareness, and I think this is a good thing. I think things are improving in that regard.
Dr. Richard Vetter is the director of the nonprofit Center for College Affordability and Productivity at Ohio University. Dr. Vetter, many thanks.
Thank you.